Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
On the next day, when the people who remained after the feeding of the 5,000 saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the man in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The church, you and I, have been very much impacted by the modern secular world. You and I live in a world which denies there's any purpose to life, and which embraces random events as the explanation for existence. Literally, the world we live in believes one day there's this huge explosion, and a long time later we got turtles. Just happened. Now, you can say you're not affected by that. You can say you're not impacted by that. But if you do, I'm going to call you a fool. Because that's the world you live in. That's what you're bombarded with 24/7. So as Christians, it's tempting to blame our problems on this toxic worldview of unbelief. It's like easy to sit around saying, "What's gone wrong in the world? What's going on?" But those of us who read the Bible pretty quickly figure out nothing much has changed. Nothing much has changed. People have always been faithless, and people have always been sinful, beginning somewhere around chapter 3 in the Bible. Now, if you remember that primarily sin is walking away from God, being separated from God, if you understand that, if you understand that primarily sin is a broken relationship with God and a broken relationship with one another, and as I say, hopefully enough for you to hear, a broken relationship with your true self, that you're alienated from your true self, then you know that a lack of faith always leads to other gods. A lack of faith in Yahweh always leads to other gods who capture our attention and allegiance. And they can be somewhat innocent-sounding things like my family, my country, things that sound like good ideas, but that can capture our hearts and souls. And I will say this, if the modern pagans are overtly non-Christian, anti-Christian, and they are, modern pagans are overtly, outwardly non-Christian, unfortunately, all too often, the same is true of us. in the church. There's all manner of times where Christians are overtly non-Christian. Now, looking back in the first century Israel failed to recognize Jesus as Messiah. They didn't see the connection between the feeding miracle and the Bible that they read every day. They didn't see it. But I'm going to ask this question. How different are we? Like, how many people in here think they could give an adequate description of how Jesus is feeding the crowd connects to the Old Testament? Like, if my life depended on picking one of you to do that, I would write my last will and testament. Because my experience in 20 years here teaching Bible study is that we're still going over the same stuff. And you still sound frequently like it's the first time you heard it. I'm not sure we're terribly different from those people. Now, I have the advantage. I mean, you pay me to do this. I'm not going to pretend like I'm so much better than you. But very few people I know can speak intelligently about Christ as the fulfillment of Scripture. And one source of our problem is a lack of focus. We just don't have... I don't know if you caught this. It says they were searching for Jesus. They are searching for Jesus. And you know what the first question they asked was? Well, how'd you get here? That's not searching for Jesus. You know what I was asked more this week than I've been asked in the whole 20 years I've been here? Here's what I want to be asked. Show me how to pray better. I was asked more this week, how was your vacation, than I've been asked to show you how to pray better in 20 years. You know why? Because we say stuff like, how'd you get here? How was your vacation? Well, heck, Father, that's what really matters. How was your vacation? I went on a vacation with a 10-year-old. How do you think it was? I mean, seriously, do you need me to explain what it was like? I love that kid, but you end up doing a lot of stuff that's focused on 10-year-olds. And it was a great vacation. If by great vacation, me, I enjoyed my time with my wife and child. Yeah. But why is that question so pressing that you feel comfortable asking it? And I know now some of you are saying, oh, God, he's mad. I'm not mad. I'm just saying this tendency to say they miss it and think they miss it and we don't is absolutely wrong. It's absolutely wrong. They're searching for Jesus. What Jesus says is, you're really not searching for me. You think you're searching for me. What you're really searching for is more free food. And when you don't have any food, free food matters a lot to you. We had this discussion at OSL because of my recent weight loss. What's the hardest thing for us? Too much food. That's the hardest thing for us. Too much food. And if you bring third world people over here, they get fat real quick. I mean, it's the condition that we live in. It's not a problem of our souls. It's a problem of the land we live in, where Kroger has 20 yards of chips. 19 different varieties, I think. I mean, and I'm talking about potato. I'm not even getting into the corn yet. So we have all this stuff coming at us. Our lack of focus is because we're run by the belly. Now, the word belly doesn't appear here, but it does appear in Philippians 3:19. And as I was reading Jesus talk to these people, I heard Paul saying about those who are not submissive to Christ, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. Their God is, in other words, the desire. And it's not just food, it's any desire. The belly is the center of desires. The desires of our hearts, if you will, is what rules us. And we glory in our shame. In other words, and I've done it. You've done it. Brag about how drunk you got. Brag about how much you can eat. Brag about all these things that we do wrong. We brag about it, right? Well, I remember, we smile. Man, I remember the time I drank 4 gallons of wine. Right, it was a bad idea. And then you've got this look on your face like, but pretty impressive, ain't it? We try to impress people with our sins. And I don't know why we do it. We're just messed up. So when Jesus says, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, don't you think he's really saying the same thing? In other words, get your focus right. In other words, yeah, it's important how my vacation went. Yeah, it's wonderful you asked me, but I didn't come here to talk about vacations. I came here to talk about vocations. Your calling from Almighty God to be a disciple and an apostle. And that's why I'm here. You pay me an incredibly large amount of money to just send me on vacations and ask how they went. So you and I need to see that Jesus talks to us. He says, the work of God, and remember that Greek word, doesn't just mean believing. It means loyal trust, trusting faith, fidelity, faithfulness. It's both a trusting God and a being trustworthy. Now, we know in the gospel, and John starts out telling us, he came to his own, they didn't receive him. And one of his early encounters, it says that Jesus said, the light's in the world, but people prefer darkness because their sin. Their deeds are evil and they prefer darkness. So we know that we have a battle going on because that's what we're inclined to. We're inclined to not do that. So that's why every day we have to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And I pray that prayer for you and with you, even if you don't know we're praying it together, every morning, multiple times. And when I pray for our daily bread, I'm not just praying for our needs, our daily needs. I'm praying for the Jesus who's the bread of life to come into our lives. That you and I literally, each and every day, become a center for encountering Christ because Christ is within us. Jesus is eternal. And this is really good news because I see one exception here perhaps. Most of us are on the other side of 50. In human lifespans, I've been reading, unless if you're just stopped in the Bible where they lived in 900, most of us are well past the halfway point. So we're faced with this reality that we are knocking at death's door. We're knocking at death's door. And that's not something to be afraid of because Jesus says eternity, 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 a life of abundance and fullness. So I know the world's focused elsewhere, and I honestly don't know that it ever hasn't been. Even in the more religious past, I don't know that people still weren't focused elsewhere. But it doesn't matter. What matters is where are we going to focus? So this night we're going to focus on the bread of life, the bread of life, the bread of life, that Jesus is among us. We're going to open our hearts to receive him, and we're going to leave this place having taken another step for union with him, getting focused on him. All right? Everybody raise your right hand and say, I will do that. Okay, and all you who raise the left hand, that still counts.